Morning. If you are a child, you can go, unless you want to stay and hear from me. Right across the hall in the gymnasium, we've got kids K through 5th, I believe, or 1st through 5th, I believe, and then we've got some nursery going down the hall in the preschool area. So if you have a child that you want to get rid of, yeah? You can be rest assured that they are being taught sound biblical stuff, doctrine, things that they need to hear about Jesus and stories of the Bible. Deal? How are you doing this morning? Let me tell you a story. I taught last week. And ever since I taught last week, I've been haunted by words that left my mouth. Some of you are saying, oh yeah, I know which ones those were. Others of you are saying, I better go listen to the teaching from last week so I can get the dirt on this. My wife and I have been married almost 19 years. It'll be 19 years in March. And throughout our entire married history, she has said, do you hear how you speak to me and how you phrase things? And in my mind, I say, well, it makes sense because they're true. Right, like, you know that gets you absolutely nowhere in a marriage relationship, right? So I speak things, and I say things in such a way that in my mind, they don't sound like an offense, but in other people's mind, they may be an offense. So I spoke last week, and I made a statement right out the gate. We were talking about our DNA, of who, what makes white water, and we talked about inclusiveness, the very first thing that we talked about. And this is what I said. Now, let me know if this raises your hackles or it makes you bristle a little bit. And to be completely honest, none of you wrote a nasty comment to me. None of you said anything to me. None of you spoke a harsh word or anything back to me about this statement. But here it goes. I said this. This is a quote from Adam, your pastor. If you are a believer coming in, that's not really a huge win for us. Talking about coming into Whitewater, if you are already a believer, that's not really a huge win for us. I go on to say in a more eloquent way, especially if you're a defect from another church. Whew. Nothing wrong with that. Let's keep going, okay? And you're just angry and looking for a new door to darken. Oh, Adam, man, you're kind of an a-hole. I can be, okay? And then I go on to say, that's not church growth, that's revolving door. End quote, Adam Koop. I speak these things from the stage, and I left the stage, and I was haunted by that particular phrase. Because I know what I mean by that particular phrase, and it smacks of truth in areas. And that's not a defense for what I just said. Okay? That's not a defense at all. What it shows me is that your pastor can speak from the flesh on any given Sunday. I can speak things that aren't gospel. I can speak things that don't reflect the heart of God, and I can speak things that don't, yeah. And so, for those of you that heard this phrase that haven't already left the church, okay, that's an option, okay? I sincerely apologize, because Whitewater is actually made up of a bunch of folks who came, left the churches that they were a part of, ordained by God to come here and start Whitewater so people would know Jesus. We were not defects, we were not broken coming from, well, that's probably not even true. All of us are broken to some level, right? We were defectors of these churches that we came from all areas. People came from Cody, Wyoming. People came from Scottsbluff, Nebraska. That's where my family and I came from. Was that Portland, Oregon? Yeah. People came from all over to just be and say yes to this mission of God. So this church is very much built on those people. And those people are people that we prayed for to help move this mission forward. Now, that being said, if we can move forward together, understanding that this mission is not about us only and our relationship with God, but it's actually for a dying world that needs to know Jesus, we're going to kick some ass. We're going to do well. We're going to be awesome. We're going to be living out the gospel. We're going to be doing things that are just going to blow our minds. And that's the main goal. Not coming here to gather, not coming here to gather to just be Christians that love Jesus and I don't know what we do. Watch Focus on the Family films. Read Beth Moore books. I don't know. What do we do? See, this is where it goes off the rails for me again, and then I have to apologize next week again. So what you need to understand is your pastor is fallible, and at any given moment I may say some very hurtful things. And it's okay to check me on those things, please. The Holy Spirit did a good enough job doing that for me this week. So, but I just want to say, for those of you, I apologize for that statement because I don't own that, and the leadership here doesn't own that, okay? Nor does Jesus own that. Deal? Clear as mud. If there's anything we need to talk about more, come find me. Come talk to me. It's going to be great. So we talked about last week about our DNAs. Did anybody remember what our DNA is as Whitewater? Our DNA is Whitewater, yeah. Now, that was the good nerd term that we discussed, but we talked about inclusiveness, we talked about love, we talked about generosity, we talked about transparent authenticity, we talked about spirit-led biblical obedience, and we talked about spiritual formation. Can I give us a refresher on those? Okay. Inclusiveness. Whitewater is an open and diverse community where you can belong before you believe. The left out ones are not left out here. This is not just a Sunday morning thing. It is how we live our lives. It's not just here in this building. It's not just here on a Sunday morning or on a Wednesday night at dinner and A or on a Friday night at the college group or Saturday morning at women's death wishes or Monday morning at dudes' death wishes, right? It's everywhere we are. What are we laughing at? That's what I said. Tuesday morning at dudes' death wishes, right? It's not at the Monday night good and beautiful God community, good and beautiful community study. That's what I said, Sam. When I said you can call me on things, yeah, call me on things, it's good. It's how we live our lives. It's who all who are willing to chase after Jesus are welcome, okay? That's inclusiveness. Love, we love God and others through our compassionate actions toward each other and the world around us. Again, it's not just about us and our love for Jesus. It's about us, our love for Jesus, and our love for everyone we meet, right? Loving one another in the same way Jesus loves us. Transparent authenticity. This is one that you guys see a lot from the stage and just in general. We practice honesty in our relationships with God and each other through open sharing of our strengths and weaknesses as we grow in Christ together, okay? Generosity. We live with an open hand individually and collectively. We sacrificially share our time, energy, possessions and money with those inside and outside of the church. Are you guys catching this? Okay. Spirit-led biblical obedience. We regard Scripture as the foundation of truth and embrace the necessity of the Holy Spirit's guidance and understanding in living out these truths. We take our cues from Scripture. We take our cues from the written Word, and we depend on the Holy Spirit to speak into our lives as we read. What are we hearing from God? What are we doing about it? What is He calling us into? What is He calling us out of? Who is He calling us to be? Right? And then spiritual formation, we practice in the process, or we participate in the process of God's redemption in our own lives. We experience the rich and abundant life of Jesus in increasing measure as we grow into who God made us to be. We do this by practicing spiritual disciplines, including, but not limited to, Bible reading, prayer, fasting, solitude, and authentic engagement in community with other disciples. Right? These are the DNA strands that make us. This is our code. This is what makes Whitewater, Whitewater. Now, this DNA then looks like this. right? We have determined. Here's our mission statement. We are a community that is persistently moving the world two steps closer to Jesus. Now, if any of you have been with us a long time, I was a part of the team that helped create this sentence, and at first it seemed small and big all at the same time, right? We are persistently moving the world two steps closer to Jesus. Well, why not all the way to Jesus, right? Well, we wanted our mission to actually smack of reality. There's a lot of people that will hang out here and move two steps closer to Jesus but never get there, right? And that's beautiful. It doesn't have to be us that sees that come to fruition in their lives. A lot of people we understand will leave here and really bump into Jesus and meet them when they move away from here, and that to me is incredible. We played our part. We played our role that we needed to play. So we have this mission persistently, continuously, tirelessly, whatever word you want to throw there, but we use persistently, moving the world two steps closer to Jesus. We have determined that our lives will not be lived passively, but instead, we will actively embrace the adventure of life with anticipation of encountering God in tangible ways. Christianity was never intended to be a religion focused on what it opposes, but instead, God's intention was to gather his people who would illuminate the things that are most important to him. And at Whitewater, we see our hearts for God most fully expressed through the DNA that crafts this and says this is who you are, scripturally, biblically. Remember all of this stuff last week when we talked about our DNA. You go read Acts 2 and what happened to the church that just exploded. These things are their DNA that has transferred for 2,000 plus years now to us and is a part of our DNA. We see this played out and most fully expressed in adventure, community, worship, and service. What does that mean? What does that mean when we start living out this DNA? It means our life necessarily should always reflect adventure, of fearlessly chasing after God. There are things that happen in my life when I decided to get real with Jesus and said, okay, I'm going to abandon all I know because all I know has gotten me only this far with you. And it was me fighting God all the way, telling him how things should be. I know none of you struggle with that same thing, right? It was me telling God, this is how I will serve you. This is how I will love you. This is how much of my income you get. This is how much of my time you will get. This is how I will choose to serve you. And it only was through music primarily because I liked music and that's what I gave to God. I gave my 10% tithe to the church. For some reason, that one never really tripped me up, giving money. That seemed like the most bottom, low-level thing I could do to make me feel good about being a Jesus follower. You want 10%? Great, yep. How about 11? What? Oh, you want me to give over and beyond? No, I'm good. I got music gear to buy so I can worship better. So this adventure calls us into some crazy stuff. When I gave my life to Jesus, it was a two-part conversion. At 11, I met him, and I knew I had a need for a Savior. And then at the age of 28, I met him again, and my life wasn't surrendered at all. It hadn't been from 11 to 28. I knew I needed a Savior then, but I wasn't willing to put in the work or the effort to do anything that he asked of me, really. So when I am broken of that, and I have this moment with the Holy Spirit convicting, moving me beyond Adam, moving me beyond who I am, things started to change in my world. And there is no other word than adventure for this type of life. Oftentimes in the leadership meetings within Whitewater, we would hear the phrase, I guess I never just get to be comfortable again. Any one of you said that in Whitewater that have been with us? Pretty much anybody that's been on leadership I guess I just don't get to be comfortable again. And I said, well, what does that mean? Why, I just want to show up on a Sunday and worship and feel good and go home. I don't want God to meddle in my life. I don't want God to actually speak to me. I don't want God to call me into something. I don't want God to call me out of something. I just want to be comfortable and know that someday I'm going to heaven. When in reality, heaven is here, heaven is now, kingdom is here, kingdom is now. As Jesus prayed, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth, here, now, as it is in heaven. So we seem to miss this gap, but when we start bringing kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven, it is nothing short of adventure. It reflects our name, Whitewater. Whitewater is dangerous. Whitewater is scary. Whitewater can at times just be calm as you go down a river. You hit some calm spots. But it's an adventure going down a river. I kind of kick again. I've joked that I wish we would have called ourselves Lazy River, Calm Springs, because that we could have lived the comfortable life, folks. We could have had that if we just spoke that into existence then with God. We'll just show up and feel good on Sundays and go home unchanged. Right? So we are chasing after God, adventure, freely and fearlessly chasing after God. These songs that we just got done singing. It is finished. He has done it. Let your weary heart rejoice. Like all this work has been done on behalf of us. All this work conquering sin and death. All this work to just make us right with God is finished. So that struggle frees us up to freely and fearlessly chase after God and to embrace the unpredictable nature of life. In his context, the things that he calls us into, the first reaction I have a lot of times when God calls me into something greater than myself is fear. Right? Whoa, that's bigger than me. Yeah, you're right. That's me. That's God. I got you. We're going to do this together. We're going to do amazing things. Just do what I'm asking of you. And time by time again, as I read through Scripture, again, biblical Holy Spirit-led biblical obedience, as we read through Scripture and we see the things that God calls ordinary schmucks like us to do, go. Go free an entire nation from captivity. Go slay a giant. Go tell a nation who will most likely kill you that they don't have the things in mind of me. That's crazy stuff. And he's just calling on ordinary people like us to make that mission happen, to further his mission, to further his name, to further his kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. But we have to embrace that unpredictable nature of life. And it sounds kind of like an oxymoron, right? Embracing the unpredictable. It's almost like predicting the unpredictable a little bit. That's how our minds want to phrase it and think of it. Well, if I know what's coming, I can. Well, you might not, but God, right? And we discover and live out the heart of God as revealed in the Word of God. That is scary. That is adventure. That is exciting. God, you want me to live on what and give how much away of my income? You want me to put down my American dream and raise other people up that have not with my resources? God, you want me to feed someone that I don't have food necessarily to eat? God, you want me to go love that racist person? I can't get down with that. God, you want me to go make amends with a family member that destroyed my relationship with them years ago? And live in the reality of your love that it is finished. You've done it. And I can actually live with the in love with the love that Jesus gave me, that person, that individual who has wounded me so deeply. Man, that sounds like adventure and living out the heart of God as revealed in the Word of God. The other way this plays out, our DNA altogether plays out, is in community. The first one was adventure. The second is community, helping one another, right? Authentically loving all people with God's love. Some of you have heard this who have been here before. I went to my Uncle Tim's funeral. And my Uncle Tim was a lover of Jesus. All his life, I can't remember when he preached his first sermon. It was like teens. Strange that he would know that then, up until he died of esophageal cancer just a few years ago. But my Uncle Tim's funeral, we went, and it's in this mega church that he's working at in Las Vegas. And they had this auditorium filled with people. They were televising his funeral in Corona, California, one of his first ministries where he was at. And that auditorium was just filled with people. And they were recounting my uncle's life. And one of the pastors got up and said, "The one thing about Tim is that you knew if you stood in front of him, you were going to be loved. And it didn't matter who you were or what you were or how you were. If you stood in front of him, you knew you were going to be loved." And I walked away from that funeral saying, wow, do my interactions with people reflect that? Not my Uncle Tim. Not my interactions, do they reflect my uncle? It was, do my interactions reflect Jesus? Because that's who Tim was reflecting. Down from my impatience at Walmart last night, I went through the checker, I did the profiling of each checker. I said, that one's slow, that one's incompetent, there's one. And then she was slower and more, it felt incompetent than the other ones. I chose poorly, right? This is how our minds work, right? Not, I'm going to go stand in line and wait for this woman, and I'm going to love her and ask her questions about how her day is going. I'm on mission. I'm on mission to persistently move the world two steps closer to Jesus, and here I am impatiently wanting to get out of there, right? Impatiently not wanting to talk to anybody. In fact, if you go out past a certain hour to Walmart, there's a lot of weirdos out there. I'm not one of them, okay? Right? There's a lot of weirdos out there, but it's one of those things where if I'm on mission and this is how I'm thinking of everybody as an inconvenience to me, how are they supposed to be loved if they stand in front of me? When I have love that actually matters, when I have mission that actually matters, when I have something that someone may not have, and I choose to interact out of impatience, out of profiling, out of me. Authentically loving all people with God's love. Studying and growing together in grace and knowledge of Jesus. This is something that a lot of us buck to because it's personal, right? We study God's word on our own. We study on our own and hear what God has to say on our own. We're our own free agent. We're our own individual. We are our own person. We are our own. Scripture doesn't talk about you like that. There are certain things like prayer that talks about being a private thing. Go into your prayer closets and pray. But it talks about gathering, eating with one another, being in community, not forsaking the community of gathering with one another to hear the word of God and to praise and worship together. But we tend to make it this private thing, and that can be one of the scariest things. When we started our life transformation groups and we said this is the format of just reading scripture with one another, confessing sin with one another, and praying for the lost with one another, the people that don't need Jesus, the people that need what we have most, there's a lot of hesitancy for people to jump in because it is the most raw and authentic questioning that we can have with one another, not how was your day? Did you have to scoop your walk today? How about them cowboys or cowgirls? Right? It goes deep. It talks about things that matter. We want to hear from each other. What is God speaking to you as you read? What is God speaking to me? And then we find out a lot of times God's speaking the same thing, and then we have a group of people that are moving in the same direction, fulfilling what God has asked us to do. Studying and growing together in the grace of knowledge with Jesus Christ. We wrestle together through life's tough questions and issues in a respectful and honest way. In a respectful and honest way. We wrestle through these things through Scripture. What is God speaking to us? A lot of times we would like to say, well, I think. Well, what does God say? Well, I think. Well, what does God say? And we talk about these things together in respect, and we might come away with disagreement, but disagreement's okay at times. Okay? But we can do this together. We wrestle through these things together. So we had adventure and community. This is how it plays out here. And then we have worship, encounters with God. Gathering together frequently to express our love for God through music, teaching, and ministry. We list music because music's always been a cool thing here at Whitewater. It's always been something that we feel like we've gathered a lot of good musicians together. But it's not the it, right? You can have a smoking band in a very shallow church. Can you not? So if you're coming for the music, dig a little deeper, okay? All right? But we do it through music. We do it through teaching and ministry. We get together and we hear the Word of God together. We read the Word of God together. We look at the Word of God together. Are you starting to see the theme with the Word of God? Hearing instruction from the Holy Spirit? We come and we gather on a Sunday and we worship together and we hear what God is giving us. I have a strange title and it's called Vision Pastor, which means I go and I sit in a hut every year and go on a vision journey. No, it's not cool like that. It actually means that my position is supposed to hear from God. And it's not just me only, okay? I'm kind of the head of the pen here, but it's not just me. Again, you heard from the God Dreams team last week when I spoke, there was a group of 13 of us that sat in a room and said, what is God speaking into this place here? What is God telling us? Where he needs us to be. And it was amazing to watch a group of 13 people get together and say, God is speaking this. And to say, yeah, he is. Yes, he is. In agreement together. So then we get together, we pray endlessly, tirelessly, God, what do you want to speak to this group of individuals? And he speaks, and sometimes he doesn't speak. Do any of you remember a few years ago when I hit the stage and all we did was pray for a couple weeks because we had no idea where we were headed? I refuse to move and just say, well, I can teach a Bible, a book of the Bible to you. I can go and just say, well, obviously we should preach Acts. But God didn't speak in those moments. And he left me in the uncomfort of sitting here and telling you, I got nothing for you, but we're going to pray together as a church. So my job is to hear from God. God, what are you wanting to say to these people? You've given us our DNA. You've given us these core values of how it plays out. What are you needing to speak here? And I got to hit the stage, and some weeks I miss it. Again, because Adam can talk more than the Holy Spirit. Some weeks we hit it dead on. But we gather together to express our love for God through music, teaching, and ministry. And then hopefully we then go out and display our love for God in all our relationships with all that we encounter. That's another form of worship. What are you getting from here? What is God calling us to do? What is God calling you to do here specifically? What is God calling you to do within your community, within your job, within your work? Then you go out and you share these things. You go out and you bring these people along. You go out and you grab your neighbors. You go out and you live life with them. And make this God thing contagious. And then the last point of worship is we surrender ourselves, no matter where we are, to God's love. And sometimes that's hard. That's why we went and taught our identity series. If you forget who you are, which is very easy, I do it a lot, go back to those things. Who does God say I am? You are fearfully and wonderfully made. It is finished. He's done it. Let your weary heart rejoice. We go back to that and surrender ourselves, no matter where we are, to the love of God. And that's that recharge station. That is that we can do this. We can make this happen. And the last one is service. And I don't know if these are actually in an order of how they actually go out. And maybe service should be first, right? It's bringing the kingdom. It's making this real, giving our time, energy, and resources to move the world towards Jesus. It's not just your pastoral staff. It's not just your eldership here. It's not just people that are in charge of different leadership areas. It is us. Your job, sitting here week in, week out, sitting here year in, year out, if you've been sitting here and listening to these things and you're not bringing the kingdom, why? Go ahead. It's uncomfortable silence to sit in. These other ones might be easier than service. Community, yeah, I show up on a Wednesday night. I show up on a Friday night. I show up on a Monday night, Sam. Oh, he's back. I show up on a Monday night. I show up on a Tuesday night. I might come to the prayer gathering. I may even go to community night of worship. But I'm not going to tell my neighbor anything or try to live life alongside them, letting them know where my hope comes from. I won't go to my work and let them know where my hope comes from. I won't go home and shepherd my children because, I don't know, I don't feel like it's my place. Maybe some of these are easier for you than this one. Giving our time, energy, and resources to move the world towards Jesus. Prayerfully placing the needs of the world around us ahead of our own. And collaborating with others to impact the community and world. These are things we, Whitewater, do. These are the things we, Whitewater, are called to. These are things we, Whitewater, have within our DNA, our God-given DNA that we saw from the early church. These aren't just kind words. These aren't just things that we just threw on a page and said, well, this sounds good to us. These are things from God. These are direct from the mouth of God. And I get to stand up and I get to cast vision and I get to cast this how we live lifestyle. And I jokingly said to Craig on the side of the stage, he said, go get him. And I said, oh man, after I'm done, they're going to remember our DNA and core values, and it's just going to sink in, and every person is going to leave changed. And I smiled like a jerk. Because the reality of it is, I know that we're going to gather again next week, and the impact may not be as your vision pastor hopes it will be. And it's not all of us. There's some of us that just take this mission seriously. But these things are not about us. These things are solely. These things are about us taking this message to a dying world. These things are about us taking hope to the hopeless. These things are about us taking love to those that are not loved. These things are about us taking the Holy Spirit that lives within us to people that have not, and letting him speak through us. Love through us. Engage through us. Watch people come to salvation through us. That's a weird statement, isn't it? Again, it goes back to that fear thing in my mind, that God chose me, a fragile human being that on any given week can spit some weird stuff out and hurt, wound, kill, and destroy people, right? But he's chosen me and said, Adam, I need you to take this message and the things that you know of me to be true and the things and the love that I've given you and the peace that I have brought you and the message that I have borne in your spirit through my Holy Spirit and take it out. Go love your neighbor who's an alcoholic. Go love your neighbor who knows you're a pastor, but the only way that they can reconcile that is to joke about when it's a nice day out, oh, you must have been praying to God. That's the depth of their relationship with my Creator. Go love your neighbor who parks in front of your house when he shouldn't. Oh, you know that one. Do you guys live on my block? Go love your professor who is blatantly disrespectful to Jesus and all that he did and died for, and who makes a mockery of this faith. These things are about us, but not solely. It's about everybody else. And when we talk evangelism, when we talk that big scary word about how we share our faith, how we love, how we give, how we do this, it's through adventure. It's through community. It's through worship. It's through service. But it starts with inclusiveness, love, transparent authenticity, generosity, spirit-led biblical obedience, and spiritual formation. Those are the things that make it easy for us, that make persistently moving the world two steps closer to Jesus even attainable. How are you doing with it? What's God challenging you in today? That's the Holy Spirit. What's he challenging you to give up today so that you can actually do, be, live this life? What's he asking you to pick up today so that you can actually do, be, and live this life? How you doing? These are the things we must wrestle with. These are the things that will change this community for the better. These are the things that as we work with other churches in town, other people that are going to the same kingdom we're going to, and are a part of the same kingdom that we're going to, and we work side by side with them. Community night of worship tonight. It's an incredibly beautiful thing that where you put denomination nonsense down, and we come together and we worship through song. We worship through prayer. We worship through Holy Spirit-inspired messages that may come through any worship leader, through any of the pastors that are there. We do this together. We're not alone, Whitewater. Don't make that mistake. We're a part of a whole. How are you doing with it? So God, you'd be the convictor. You be the conviction here, the Holy Spirit. God, let us not leave this place without having to wrestle with this concept, without having to look you in the eye with where we are in regards to the DNA that you've put in us as the body of Whitewater, as those that claim you. God, you bring the conviction, but not only bring conviction, but God, I pray that your Holy Spirit brings peace to our souls in the areas where we get you right, in the areas where we are striving to see you and your kingdom come and your will be done. God, the areas that are easy for us, God, bring peace in those areas, but God, illuminate the things that are important to you in our lives that we're not seeing, that we've yet to give up, that we've yet to come to. God, thank you for everyone that's here. Thank you for the people that have come to make this ministry what it is. Thank you for the non-church that are here listening and hearing from you. A God that loves them, a God that desires relationship with them, a God that desires peace for them. God, continue to make us a people that persistently move the world two steps closer to your Son, Jesus. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said. If there are things that you're questioning in this process, these are some things that are just highlights of who we are and what's going on. Okay? There is an Engage class that's happening next month. Okay? It's in your bulletin. It's happening February 16th, 23rd, March 1st, and March 8th from 12:30 to 1:30 here. It's on Sundays in the afternoon right after church. And it's happening in the office. And you can sign up with either Craig, who's standing in the back, or myself. You can email us, craig@whitewaterchristian.com or adam@whitewaterchristian.com. Space is limited because we find to have actually good discussion with people, you can't have 45 people show up. Not that we ever have, right? Right? But I highly encourage you, if you are a person who's new here, if you are a person who just wants to know more about Whitewater, these things get more fleshed out in detail within the Engage class. And there's some cool processes like Enneagram tests. Anybody done those? To see how crazy you are? Okay. And there's things like spiritual gifting tests that just help illuminate these things. God, where have you gifted me? And what's my place in the body? What's my place here? Where are you calling me into? If you're confused about these things all get fleshed out within the Engage curriculum as well. So I would highly recommend, if you're new here, if you're old here, and this stuff isn't reflecting the life you live in return in regards to Adventure Community worship and service and our DNA, go check this out. This will help solidify some of those things, or it'll help you say, you know what, I probably might need to move on from here because I don't think I'm willing to do this, or this isn't for me, okay? I love y'all. There's people here to pray with you. We got April, we got Cindy. Come back next week, and I will see if there's anything the Holy Spirit convicts me of that I need to apologize for again. Okay? Deal? Grace and peace.